This is Cam.
And I'm Jen.
And you're listening to
Our True Crime Podcast.
Good evening. This is Edward October, host of October Pod on YouTube. Jen and Cam have asked me to say a few words about Our True Crime Podcast. There's nothing quite like discussing a juicy murder with a friend. True crime buffs are well versed in shootings, knifings, axings, poisonings, and violent defenestrations. But such matters are not for little ears. Listener discretion is advised.
This is Mike Morford. You may know me as co-host of the true crime podcast Criminology. I'd like to invite you to listen to my new podcast, The Murder in My Family, which is out right now. In each episode, I discuss a murder case and include an interview with a family member of the victim to discuss the aftermath of the murder. Some of the cases I cover are well known, and others you probably haven't heard of. And I have several episodes currently available for you to binge on, including episodes about the Delphi murders, the Golden State Killer, and the Colonial Parkway murders, just to name a few. Here's a small sample.
Bill Thomas is the brother of Kathy Thomas, and he agreed to talk with me about the murder in his family.
Well, Mike, at the risk of sounding like every other proud big brother around the world, Kathy was an amazing person.
And one thing I wanted to get across is how important it is that the victims that I'll be talking about in these cases aren't just statistics. You know, they were real people. They're more than just murder victims.
For me, knowing that he has a family and that he gets to see his kids every day and that he gets to be there for his kids growing up, like, it's not fair. He was the most funniest man I've ever met. He was everybody's friend.
New episodes come out on Saturdays, and you can find The Murder of My Family wherever you listen to podcasts. Subscribe today so you don't miss an episode.
In a world where brown people are told to turn their shit down, four people of color have conversations and get real.
2018, the year of self-care.
Mm-hmm. You're finally evolving, but still have work to do.
Just want to be free, most of all.
Why is it so easy to completely ignore the history of people?
So I stress that to the listeners. And everyone, I guess, says that, you know, figure out your piece in the whole revolution. And please do.
Which is inclusive of all different colors.
Listen to Explain to Me on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, and Spreaker.
Hi, Jen.
Hi, Cam. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm so excited to be back.
I know. Welcome back, right?
Yeah. Our dreams were our ticket out. Welcome back.
I didn't know where you're going with that. Okay,
that
I got you.
Same old place that we laughed about. Sorry.
Well, the dreams have all changed. I don't know the words. Okay.
Well, the names have all changed since you've been around.
Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
But the dreams
all right.
have remained.
Yeah.
And they've turned around.
We don't want people to tune out, Jen. Tune in. Anywho, how was your holidays?
I had a great holiday.
Good.
And yourself?
It was okay. I'm glad it's over.
Amen. To be honest. Amen. I never really liked.
I don't know. It's just stressful.
Christmas. I know Glenn from Glenn Think Stuff loves Christmas, but it's just.
And not to mention, it's like 120 degrees here in Missouri. Like, you can barbecue
not really.
On Christmas Day. That's not okay.
It was 65, not 100.
Whatever.
I know.
When you can wear a t-shirt and shorts. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Nope.
It doesn't make it seem like it's Christmas.
Anyway, what else do you have for the people out there? New Year, 2019.
Did you make any resolutions?
Yes, but I'm not going to share them. But they're not really resolutions. They're lifestyle changes.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Wink, wink.
Yeah, why just change one thing when you can change everything, right?
Well, I don't do that because that's just not going to work. But, you know,
mm-hmm.
they're kind of yeah, you know, like the 31st, you're fat and you drink a lot and you eat a lot. And then on the 1st, you've changed. It's the, no.
A whole new me.
Does not work like that. Anyway, let's just dive in and see what we got. I'm excited because it's been a while. I'm sure we're going to stammer and stutter through this since we have not done this for, what, 2 weeks?
Hey, the blooper reel will be big.
Yes, it will right? be. Probably. Probably, maybe.
Oh, and we did get a new setup. So if you hear bumps and all sorts of things, we're going to try to edit it out, but I don't know
we're
if
like,
we'll be able to.
We're like, we are more professional now because we sit across from each other.
Woohoo!
Where we can see each other instead of next to each other. So mm-hmm. This is much more like a real sound studio.
Kind of.
And your sweet little daughter made us little candies on
the
table. So cute. Okay,
she's
let's have it.
Dork. She's the next Vanna White or Carol Merrill.
I know, I love her.
I'll post the video online. It Very makes cute. Me laugh.
What you got?
We are going to go to Russia.
Okay. I really do kind of want to go there.
I would love to. You know, my aunt was in the Foreign Service,
mm-hmm.
and she was in Russia for a while.
Did she like it?
She loved it. It's one of her favorite places.
Really?
Russia, Poland, China. Those are like her three big
favorites.
I found that when I'm researching, all the articles say one of the Soviet Union's most prolific killers.
Yep.
I don't know how prolific he is, but he is pretty creepy. His name, The Fisher.
The Fisher?
The Fisher. And I have no idea.
Did he fish for a living?
I don't know.
Or fish for victims, maybe.
Hunt more. But why they call him The Fisher, I don't know. When they were looking for him, they had no idea why he was called.
Really?
We'll get into it. But
okay, yes.
There have been a few Russian killers that I've wanted to talk about mm-hmm. on the podcast, but there's not a lot of information on them. As I've been researching, trying to come up with different people that many folks haven't heard about,
mm-hmm.
different killers many people haven't heard about.
Mm-hmm. Which we like.
Which we like. Mm-hmm. I've found a lot of Russian killers,
mm-hmm.
but there's never a lot of information on them. And it's really hard to do podcasts when you can't find. And you can't talk about somebody if you can't find any information on them.
And here's our 2-minute serial killer podcast.
Exactly. But what I have heard is a lot of these happened when Russia was actually the Soviet Union mm-hmm. and the Berlin Wall and all that
USSR.
Kind of stuff.
Back in the USSR.
Exactly. And I had read somewhere that, and I forgot where it was, but they said that the reason why there's a lack of information on these killers at this time
mm-hmm.
is because the Soviet Union wanted to keep it all quiet, and they wanted everyone to think that Russia or the Soviet Union was like this perfect place.
Totally see that.
Mm-hmm. So they kept everything hush-hush. Mm-hmm. They didn't want people to know what was really going on behind that iron curtain that mm-hmm. they had. They wanted to make everybody think that the Soviet Union was a perfect place to live, but we all know there's no such thing. Correct?
True.
Yeah. Except my head. My head's a perfect place.
That's why you stay there so often.
I know. It's great. But anyway, we are going to be in...
These are Russian names, so I think everybody will forgive us because I'm pretty sure there's not one single person in Russia that has listened to our podcast.
There's been one download from somebody in Russia.
Oh, see? Okay.
And don't forget, in Astoria,
we made
the charts in Astoria,
yeah.
So that's kind of around that.
Is it?
I don't know.
Anyway.
It sounds like it should be.
If you're the one listener from Russia and we pronounce these wrong, can
you let us know? In Odinstova, which is a district in the Moscow area,
mm-hmm.
one of the Eastern Europe's most notorious serial killer was hunting young boys during the mid-1980s through the mid-1990s.
Wow, that's a long time.
Sergei Golovkin. That's his name. And I did that how do you pronounce names thing,
mm-hmm.
and that's
okay.
Sergei Golovkin.
I like your accent.
Isn't that? Mm-hmm. I try. So Sergei was born in Moscow on November 26th, 1959. His mother and father were both working class. I was able to find that his mother held a normal job.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing on his dad, except that he was a mean alcoholic.
Didn't see that coming.
I know. Go figure. Both parents were very, very cold, and they weren't loving
at all. Cold from Russia?
Siberian cold. No, they were very unloving and uncaring. Sergei was very sickly as a child, And he was always suffering from either bronchitis, intestinal problems, urinary tract infections. He actually wet the bed until his teens. I mean, he was...
Yeah,
just like our little vagina bread guy.
Come on, let's get through one episode without bringing that up.
Sorry.
Please.
That's what I said, vagina bread.
Breadsticks.
When I looked him up on Wiki, it said that he had a birth defect on the sternum. And the only thing I can find is it's called pectus excavatum. Mm. Pectus, basically, it's a caved-in chest.
Oh, okay.
You know, you've seen those.
Yeah.
And they said, Wiki had said that that was the reason why I was sick all the time. But I knew people. I've known people that had that. And there's never, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't think that, I mean, when they get older.
Lungs or something, but.
So he was always sick. And he never spent a lot of time outdoors. And his dad, being kind of a jerk, decided that he would try to cure Sergei. To cure him, he would pour cold water over his head. To try
as
to
a child?
Get... Because this treatment, his father said, would make his immune system stronger so he wouldn't get sick so much. Because if he would kept getting sick, his body would build up tolerance. I don't know. It's wacky. Not only did this not work... It also made Sergei not like water.
Gee.
And kind of, he soon took to not showering or bathing or anything like that. So, and Sergei never hung out with friends, probably because he was stinky. But most likely because he was like really shy and his sickness, being sick all the time didn't help.
Right.
But he usually just, he was off to himself, kind of antisocial,
right.
Very awkward. As a teen, he was very, he was a target for the bullies, like always. Got picked on. He was tall, awkward, acne, really bad acne. And even though he was a good student and he did have a few close friends, but not anything significant. Later, these friends would make comments about, you know, he never had a girlfriend. It's kind of weird. He never even talked about girls. He was never interested in girls. So after high school, Sergei went to an agricultural academy. He did very well, and he graduated in 1982. Unfortunately, during this time, he was also attacked a lot by local gangs. And it was said that Russia, or I'm sorry, the Soviet Union, Soviet Russia, actually, was starting to develop this gang problem in the early 80s, where, like, I don't mean to laugh, but it was described as roving gangs of... These felonious...
Like teenagers? Or like full-on mafia grown men?
Young boys.
Okay.
Like Jets and the Sharks. When you're a Jet, you're a Jet all
so
the
like
way.
So like the Bloods and the Crips kind of.
Well, yeah, kind of.
Versus the...
But more punk.
Yeah.
That's when I read it. The roving gangs made me laugh, but I pictured like Sid Vicious types.
Yeah.
You know, going on and
punk
fighting.
Punk rocker.
Right.
Yeah, I gotcha.
He was always targeted... by these gangs. He'd be beaten up all the time. He started to relate, for some reason, he started to relate these vicious attacks with sex. Somehow.
So he kind of liked it?
Well, he kind of fantasized about getting back at these gangs.
Oh.
Back at these men
that
would beat him up. It always included rape. Like, he would beat them and...
Power.
He would beat them and then he would rape them. And he'd torture them, and he would fantasize about his perfect victim. And that victim would have jet black hair, thin build, but less than 15 years old. But he was tall, thin build, and he had black hair, so kind of weird. Like he was fantasizing about hurting himself, maybe?
Okay.
After every attack, he masturbated. He would have these fantasies, and then he would... After they attacked him.
That's going to be a therapist
weird,
visit.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it's a little bit too late for a therapist. After he graduated from the academy, or the institute, they called it, he first got a job at a horse track, then later got a job as a horse breeder just right outside of Moscow. So he was really good at this horse breeding thing. He really had found his niche, and he... actually, at a trade show, won a silver medal for his achievements in horse breeding.
That's pretty good.
Well, that was in 1989, so that was like after he killed some kids. But that's, you know.
Never mind.
Hindsight.
That's not good.
During the summer of 1984, Sergei was sitting by the fence near a kid's summer camp, smoking a cigarette. A young boy approached Sergei, and Sergei just attacked him out of the blue.
Like in front of everybody?
It was on a perimeter of a camp, and the boy came over. Sergei just attacked him. He stabbed the boy several times with a knife and strangled him with a rope, then covered his face with a cloth, and then left him for dead. He ran into a wooded area behind the camp and just took off. The boy.
How old is he?
The boy?
No, the...
Sergei? He was probably 20.
And this was his first time? And did he rape
his him? His first attack. No.
He didn't rape him.
Didn't rape him. Okay. He just stabbed the boy dozens of times, strangled him with a rope, and then left. Okay. But before he ran away into the woods, he put a cloth over his head or his face. Thankfully, the boy survived. And even though the attack looked brutal, it really wasn't. The boy was able to give the police a description of the attacker. And even later, when Sergei was arrested and went to trial, the boy was able to identify him and get on the witness stand. But nobody else had seen Sergei or this little boy. Nobody saw anything.
Right.
So Sergei was able to get away with it.
Oh.
Police looked into every lead they had. Case grew cold. Nothing happened. Later, when Sergei was asked about his first attack, he said that he had no idea how the attack even happened. He was just sitting there and something came over him and his mind became a blur. And he felt really disoriented and not like himself. But he was aware that the boy was there and he was aware that he had the knife and he was aware that he was doing it, but he didn't plan the attack and he wasn't prepared. And he just said that his fantasies took over. This also gave Sergei a taste of what his fantasies and dreams could. And it also helped him develop kind of his M.O. He also knew not to leave anybody alive.
Right.
Having the police out looking for him scared the hell out of him. Once he realized everything was calm, he felt he needed another victim. So on the evening of April 19th, 1986, 16-year-old Andrei Pavlov. Now, this is going to get confusing because he's going to have two victims by the name of Andrei. So 16-year-old Andrei Pavlov was riding his bike home from his grandparents' house. Andrei was supposed to check on some birch sap buckets that his father had put in the woods earlier that day, and he was supposed to bring those home. Andrei didn't notice that Sergei had spotted Andrei by the train station. Sergei started following him. Once Andrei got off his bike
in
the woods.
Sergei's in a car, I'm guessing. No, he's on foot.
No, I'm sorry. Once Andrei got off his bike, Sergei's on foot.
Oh, okay.
So the train station into the woods wasn't very far. Once Andrei got off his bike in the secluded area, Sergei approached Andrei and asked if Andrei had a match for a cigarette.
No, why would a 16-year-old have that? Well, I guess maybe they would, especially then. I don't know. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, or just ask, you know, hey, or do you have the time? Do you have a match? I don't know. That was his pickup line.
I don't talk to people. It's true.
That's why you have a lot of friends. Later that evening, when Andrei didn't return home, his father was very worried. He knew the path Andrei had taken, and he knew how wooded the area was. He was afraid that Andrei had fallen off his bike, maybe hurt himself, couldn't come home. So he went out to look for him. What he found, honestly, was something out of a slasher film.
He found his kid?
He found his kid.
Oh, that's terrible.
Called the police. Andrei was tied to a tree, hung up from a tree, very close to the path that he had taken. He had been bound, tortured, stabbed dozens of times. His throat was slashed. Did I say he was strangled? He was strangled. He was raped post-mortem, and his genitals had been cut off. The police were able to find some locals who had seen a tall, dark-headed man that had acne, and they were pretty sure that the guy wasn't from the area. They were even able to give the police a very good sketch of the killer. But the police couldn't find anything. Nothing panned out. All the leads. Nothing became of anything. So Sergei is about to have a very long cooling off time. He took a couple years off.
Really?
Mm-hmm. By the time the summer of 1986, he started planning his next attack.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's very unusual. He didn't get married or anything during that time, right? Okay.
Nope. He just killed these two boys and then took 2 years off.
Wow.
Sergei noticed that the first attack by the camp, everybody seemed to have forgotten about it.
Except that poor kid.
Except that poor kid. During this time, Eastern Europeans loved to send their kids off to summer camp, and it was a very common thing to do.
Mm-hmm. like Shelley and I went to Camp Tuckahoe.
Well, that's different. That's a Girl Scout camp. This was like camp, summer camp. Like
the entire
like
summer?
Like in Meatballs. Yeah.
Like the whole summer.
Like the whole summer they
that's
would send
wild.
Their camp.
Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead.
He had noticed that the camp that he had originally attacked the boy in, they didn't have extra security. The counselors didn't really pay close attention. He decided that he was going to go back to the camp.
No, I knew you were going to say that. Mm-hmm. You've got to be kidding me.
He started hanging out there, and the camp counselors did notice a young guy hanging around a lot, watching the kids play. And
creepy.
But they didn't really pay any attention. They didn't even say anything.
Come on.
I know.
And this isn't like it's 1930.
86, right.
Yeah.
So on July 12th, 1986, 12-year-old Andre Guliev went missing from a camp. And this camp went by the name of Star. Counselors immediately sent out search parties looking for the boy in the nearby woods. And they found him hanging from a tree.
Mm.
Once again, the boy was bound, stabbed dozens of times, strangled, raped, and his genitals removed. This time was different. His stomach was cut and his head was missing.
His stomach was cut open and his head was missing?
Yes, he didn't have a head. So the police searched the area and they did recover the boy's head. It was near a path that was heading out from the woods, like mm-hmm. heading out into like the public. And so they thought that possibly that the killer was going to keep the head. And then decided at the last minute to get rid of it. Then he just threw it out in the woods, just discarded it like it was nothing.
Ugh.
Seeing that this is almost like the Andrei Pavlov's murder, the police knew that they had a serial killer that was attacking young boys.
So they connected them.
They connected them together. Okay. They also noticed that the cuts on the body were made by a really sharp knife and was very precise. So they thought maybe somebody with medical knowledge was who they were looking for. As the police were checking this crime scene of Andre Guliev, a crowd started to gather. And guess who was in the crowd?
Let me think. Him.
Sergei. Sergei was in the crowd. And the townspeople noticed him. And they told the police later about him. Mm-hmm. But they weren't able to give a good description because he was aware of the people around him. And every time somebody would look at him, he'd turn his head. So they weren't able to get a good description. The detectives went to the camp. And they did find one boy at the camp that saw an older man with Andre. And he said this man had a very distinctive tattoo of a snake with the word Fisher on his arm. That's how he got his name, the Fisher. The boy was able to give the police a description for a sketch, but he added so many other details that the detective started to discredit the boy's testimony.
Like he had too many details?
Not too many details, but I think the boy was liking the attention from the police, so he kept adding things, you know. And the police took it very seriously, and they followed through everything that the boy told him. But after it went on, they started to say, well, maybe the kid's adding stuff that's not there.
Mm-hmm.
Since he had the tattoo of the snake on his arm with the word Fisher, that's how he got his moniker of the Fisher, and some people actually called him the Boa.
Because of the snake?
The snake. The police looked into every lead, but they got sidetracked for quite a while because the little boy's story, they were taking what he said to heart, and it wasn't true. It just sidetracked the investigation for a couple of years, actually. They looked into everything that Fisher could be. Could it be a surname? Could it be a nickname? A job? Nothing. Nothing panned out. And to this day,
they don't know.
Well, I don't know if they don't know, but we don't know. I mean, if somebody's out there that can speak Russian or understand Russian, there's some videos out there on YouTube. Maybe they explain it there. I tried to look and I put subtitles and the subtitles were in Russian. Couldn't find anything. While the police were working hard on every lead, Sergei was very confident that he couldn't be linked to the murders at all. And at this point, his urges were very satisfied. He was in a cooling off period.
I wonder how he can hold that in for so long, because that's unusual.
Very unusual. Well, it depends on what he did at that horse breeding place. Like, maybe he killed some animals.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like
maybe that was part
of held him off a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I like how both of us, our eyebrows went straight up, because I was afraid of what you were going to say.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
No. Sergei remained calm through this whole thing, but everybody in Moscow and the surrounding areas were getting really scared. And parents do what parents do, kept their kids close, never let them out of sight. Camp counselors heavily supervised their campers from then on. And everybody was on their toes looking for this killer. once again, time passes. People forget.
They do.
No bodies. Everything starts going back to normal. 1988. Two more years pass.
Yeah, he has to be doing something in between there because that just doesn't...
It doesn't add up. 2 years
unless
is
unless you go to jail or something, and he's not, so...
No. Sergei bought a car in 1988. Mm. Totally nondescript beige.
Of course it is.
Car.
Sedan. Yeah.
Yeah, they gave what it is, but it's some Russian.
I got you.
And even if they told me, I wouldn't have not had a clue what it was. It was just a beige car. This car brought him more freedom, a lot more freedom. He didn't have to stalk his victims in the woods. He could find them elsewhere. Once you have a car, what else do you need for the car? You need a garage.
Oh, yeah.
So he wasn't going to stop at the garage. He needed like a... He was thinking he needed like a workspace, so he started building a basement for his workspace.
A dungeon?
Well, it didn't start out to be. Mm-hmm. But then while he was doing it, he was thinking, you know what? This would be the perfect place to torture victims.
Torture chamber, yep.
Mm-hmm. So he changed his design of the cellar. He added concrete floor throughout the whole thing. Very bright lights. And he placed rings on the walls and the ceilings because he liked to hang his victims.
Ugh.
And I don't know if he would hang them up to mutilate them while they were still alive. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But he always hung them, or he always hanged them. I don't know how that went. I'd be very curious to find out, to be quite honest.
I bet you he did it. If he truly liked the torture, I would think he hung them and then tortured them.
Right.
So they're trapped and he can see them and, you know.
Mm-hmm. So basically, Sergei created his own murder dungeon where he could torture and kill without being caught red-handed. Because, you know, he was killing out in these woods where anybody could walk past.
Now he's going to be able to savor it and take his time.
Exactly. Ugh. That's exactly what he did. Ugh. So Sergei used his car to his advantage, of course. He would go out every night after work and he would hunt for boys that loitered around the surrounding areas. He looked for ones that smoked and looked unkempt because he said was a sign that the parents really weren't involved in the kid's life.
Ew.
And they wouldn't notice if they went missing. And he would watch for a bit, for a while, and he would sit in his car with binoculars. How creepy is that? And he would watch these kids. And then once he honed in on a victim that he liked, he would try to befriend them. And he was awkward. He would always use...
Did he still stink?
He could. I mean, I don't think he peed the bed anymore, so he didn't smell like pee. At least I didn't know. I don't know.
I don't know about that.
But once he found the victim, he would try to befriend them, usually by going up to them and asking if they had a lighter or a match for a cigarette. So this just goes to show you that smoking kills in so many ways, Camille.
It does. Don't smoke. It's bad for your health.
It is. And yeah.
Yep. Smoking kills.
Period. It does.
Yep.
In many ways. Once he befriended the boys, he would find a way to get them in the car, usually by, let's go rob this place, or I know this warehouse that we can go rob, because they were delinquents, right?
Yeah.
He would get them in the car, then take them back into his
lair
and do his thing. He would justify killing these delinquents because he would say, well, they're criminals anyway.
So he's good for him. He's saving the world.
Okay. A Dexter, a weird Dexter. Mm-hmm. He would say, you know, they're criminals anyway. They rob people. They drink a lot. They'd attack people. And actually, he was just describing the people that
attacked him. Mm, full circle.
And so essentially, he really was living out his fantasies.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I probably with him finding these boys and watching them so he could get them to look. He would pick out the looks he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In 1990, a body of a boy that was kidnapped in 1989 was discovered. He got better at finding hiding places for the body because he had time. Although the body parts were scattered over the area and they were severely decomposed, the animals had consumed a large portion of the body. Police could see the familiar marks, dozens of stab wounds, strangulation marks, genitals gone, signs of torture. And this time, this body was skinned.
What?
Perfectly skinned.
Fisher, it doesn't mean hunter in Russian or anything, does it?
I don't know.
Because of the hanging them like a deer, like you dress a deer, skinning them, like some of that seems...
I mean, that's... Yeah, he perfectly skinned them, like precise, like an animal.
How would you...
He had time. He had that dungeon now. He could take his time and he can do it.
That's terrible.
Mm-hmm. The police were puzzled about how long it had taken them to find this boy. I mean, even though it was in a secluded area, the initial search for this boy had been huge. Like, tons of people came out to look for him, and tons of police officers from different police departments in the surrounding area had came out. And now they were positive that this killer had medical training or knowledge. They started searching nearby hospitals and anywhere that would have medical equipment, because the way he was cut, it had to be medical equipment that cut him, like medical surgical knives and such.
Did he perform operations on those horses, maybe?
He could have. I don't know.
Is that where he got that from?
They just said he was a horse breeder, and he worked at a horse breeding institute and horse breeding developments. So he could have.
Right.
I don't know. That's what's so frustrating.
It is Russian. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. They searched hospitals and any place that sold medical equipment, and they even searched the institute where Sergei worked. And everybody at the place where he worked said, oh, God, you guys are crazy. There's nobody that's sadistic that would do anything like that works here.
Except for that one guy.
Yeah, except for that tall, dark guy that you're looking for.
With the acne.
Yeah. Once they got Sergei into custody, they asked him what happened to this boy. And he said he took the boy into his basement, raped him while holding a knife to his throat, hung the boy from the ceiling, then strangled him. Then he took his time and carefully removed the skin and then his head. He disposed of the body in a secluded area, but he kept the head to scare future victims.
Did he put it like in a jar?
Didn't say.
Oh, scare future victims?
Mm-hmm. There are pictures online that are quite disturbing.
Yeah, no, I'm okay, thanks.
So even though they searched the horse breeding institute where Sergei worked, he was completely unbothered, and he actually killed three more boys. He killed one, and then he took two boys at the same time and tortured them together.
Really?
And their dismembered bodies wouldn't be found until the following year either.
Did he keep them for a little while? Do you know?
Like, I think he played with them for a little while, and then...
I mean, like a month or...
Wait, I don't think that long. Like a day or 2 days. In 1990, just alone, that was his big year, I guess. He killed 8 boys.
In that year. You see, that's puzzling to me about his cooling off period. That what was he doing? And then in 1 year, he takes 8 boys?
And they were all ages 10 to 15. Here's a little history for you.
Okay.
Very late, 1991, Russia was going through political turmoil.
Shocker. I did not know that.
You didn't know that?
I had no idea.
You know why?
Why?
This happened years earlier, but Mikhail Gorbachev, take down that wall! And December 25th, 1991, Mikhail Gorbachev became the former president of the Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
Moscow at this time was flooded by military, police. You couldn't go anywhere. Everything was barricaded because authorities were worried that something was going to happen to former president Mikhail Gorbachev. Remember with
the
map on his head.
Birthmark. Yep.
So even though all this extra military presence and everything, he still kidnapped a boy. Sergei still kidnapped a boy.
Can't help yourself.
No, he can't. I mean, at this point, nobody was allowed in or out of this Moscow area. There were even barricades.
Probably like roadblocks and stuff too, wasn't there?
Yeah, there were barricades at separate parts of the city. Like you couldn't go from...
A to B.
Like you couldn't get from here to Target without having a barricade.
Boy, well, he was a pretty brave killer.
Very, yes. And since the police knew where this boy was last seen, they were able to figure out approximately where the Fisher lived. Since nobody saw the boy get killed in the middle of a street or anything like that, they also deducted that the Fisher had a car and a place to hide and a place to take the kid to kill him.
I can't believe they wouldn't just pull over people and say, let me see your tattoos. That would have been easier. If they had roadblocks, just check everybody's arms.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I should be a police officer in Russia.
Yeah, is that a violation of rights?
I don't know. I don't know about that because I'm a police officer in Russia. I don't know about my rights. Okay, go ahead.
Well, this wasn't Russian at the time. Well, I guess it was.
Okay.
It was Soviet Russia. Yeah.
Over there.
In Soviet Union. Okay. Once the boy's body was found, they discovered that some of his muscles had been cut out.
What?
And they guessed that it was probably they were eaten, but that was never told to me, unless it was in Russian and I totally missed it.
They were cut out, though. They weren't eaten animal or anything?
Yes, they were like cut out. Dissected, I guess. Mm-hmm. They were cut out. And the body was dried out by using an industrial salt. So he like kind of mummified. Like
leathered it or?
Almost like he made it a jerky.
Oh, geez. Okay. Nice visual.
Thanks.
Could a horse breeder get industrial salt?
You know what, Camille? You're really smart.
I'm smart. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Don't put that put in two and that two together.
SMRT, Camille. SMRT. They checked various mental hospitals, but no one seemed to fit what they were looking for. Detectives then again went back to the Horse Breeding Institute to see if they were missing any industrial salt. And they weren't. But they also looked to see if anyone matching the Fisher's description might work there. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, they found Sergei. He'd never been questioned because he wasn't registered living in the area that they were searching. He just somehow was overlooked.
Can I see your tattoos, sir? That would be my first question.
He would think. Or do you have any tattoos, sir? But he could just say, no, sorry, I don't have any.
No, so strip your clothes off right now.
Of course you would. In September of 1992, three friends had gone missing, and they lived very close to the Institute. These three friends were always seen together.
That's so sad.
Mm-hmm. And they went missing at the same time. And they were also seen talking to Sergei a lot because they liked horses. Sergei knew a lot about horses.
And jerky.
Mm-hmm. All that good stuff. So 3 weeks after the boys disappeared, mushroom hunters, we can add that to another thing that we're never going to do again besides jog. Mushroom hunters came across their mutilated bodies. These three boys, he actually killed two of them first. He had made the third one watch everything. And then hung the boy up and left him for 12 hours.
Alive? See, that's, yeah. I think he did hang him. He would hang them and then...
And then he came back and killed him and did whatever he did. On December 19th, police brought Sergei in for questioning. He denied everything and he was very calm during the entire interrogation. So the detectives decided they were just going to let him go and put surveillance on him.
No.
Well, there is a mix-up. Some people say mix-up. Some people say that the police officer that was in charge at the time... Just
messed up?
No, just said to hell with it. We're going to lock him up.
Good. That's what I'd do.
He was put in solitary confinement for the night, which is a good thing because the next morning, Sergei confessed to everything.
Oh.
Police were then dispatched to Sergei's basement of terror, where they found everything immaculate. Everything was clean.
Yeah, well, perfect. Being a horse breeder, he probably had lots of industrial chemicals and he could just bleach the heck out of that.
But the only thing that wasn't immaculate was this small child's tub that was in the basement. Small size tub. Mm-hmm. And it was not like the plastic tub that we use now. It was an enamel one. Inside this small child's tub was where he would drain the blood from the victims. And inside the tub were burnt pieces of flesh, teeth, hair. Clothes. It says other forms of DNA, which
anything,
it could be anything. Police also found a large number of knives, and I saw the video, and like 50 knives. Not joking. They like even had them numbered. Just a huge amount of knives. Many of them were surgical knives or knives with high quality blades, and this is what he dissected his victims with. At trial, Sergei's lawyer did try to use the insanity plea. But the psychiatrist said that he showed minor signs of schizophrenia and was completely sane. The independent psychiatrist who worked with the police and the one who made the initial profile did examine the findings that were presented in court. And he had a lot to say about Sergei and about his mental state and the direct connection it had with the sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, well, quote as this Google translator, whatever said. Mm-hmm. Sexual murders have the common characteristics which are always associated with the intimate life of the perpetrator. His traumatic sexual experiences, his sense of sexual failure, inferiority, and those facts will allow you to call these murders intimate. In short, almost all serial sexual murderers are sexual failures or perceived themselves as such.
I would subscribe to that.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he's lying there.
Is it subscribe? Proscribe? I don't know. I would believe that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. During court, a few of Sergei's childhood friends, mm-hmm. the few that he had, were brought in to testify. And they told that he was very cruel to animals when he was growing up. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Kimmy, I won't go into it. But he would torture and skin the animals.
Let's see, I was wondering where that, you know, okay, mm-hmm. the hunting thing, yeah.
Right. And of course, once the defense didn't want the death penalty, and they went into detail about it really wasn't his fault because his family wasn't dysfunctional and he wasn't showed love and the violent upbringing and yada, yada, yada. But the prosecutors knew that the family needed closure. Mm-hmm. And also the public needed closure. This guy had raged through the city causing havoc, so they wanted the death penalty. So Sergei was found guilty of 11 counts of raping and murdering 11 boys.
It's terrible.
The investigators do believe that there was at least 13, but they couldn't get Sergei to ever admit it.
People that kill a lot, sometimes they'll keep one or two to themselves. And there's a couple reasons. One is because they can use it for leverage to get a lesser sentence or get the death penalty off the table. But also because then they can sit in their cell, fantasize, relive the crime. And that's like their own private right. thing.
So it's their secret.
It's their secret, yeah.
So on October 19th, 1994, Sergei was given the death penalty. 2 years he sat in prison waiting for his execution. His mother visited him all the time.
Wow.
Which
I was going to ask about his parents.
Yeah, that's the only thing that was mentioned about his parents, mm-hmm. besides that they were cool. But his mother, you would think that if she was really cold during his upbringing, she would kind of not even touch him when he was in prison.
I don't know, though. Sometimes, like, they're just cold people. You know what I mean? And it doesn't mean that they don't love them.
Family. Yeah.
But that's just how they are.
My dad's family were very, they weren't very warm and loving.
The more offstandish you are to me, the more I'm going to be on you. Do you know? It's true.
Yeah.
Kevin Heron.
Yeah. So he also spent time doing what? Reading books on religion God.
I was going to say the Bible. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And he kept to himself all the time. And he had said that he had found his peace once he started religion, which I think that's the whole basis of religion, really. So on August 2nd, 1996, his execution was carried out. And one shot to the back of his head and he was gone.
I was wondering how they did that over there.
Mm-hmm. Back of the head, too. I would shoot that guy in the... let him see it coming.
Yeah.
I don't...
Just one person did it? Like, because the United States always had the firing squad, right?
And
so
lot of countries did firing squads. Yeah. But no, this was one shot. So Sergei actually was the last prisoner to be executed in Russia before they abolished the death penalty.
Russia doesn't have the death penalty? I did not know that.
I didn't look it up if they ever got it back, but...
I did not know that. Wow.
Yeah. So that's the story of Sergei Golovkin, the fisher or the boa.
I don't know what that fisher is. If anybody figures that out, let us know.
Yeah. Isn't that weird? I mean, I can understand the boa because of the
snake. That's why I was wondering if fisher...
And I tried looking everywhere for a picture of the tattoo. I couldn't find it.
I was just wondering if it translates to something else. It was lost in translation?
Maybe.
To English, you know what I mean? Like maybe, you know how we have certain words that mean things that don't... Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know, but I found him while we were looking for the 12 Days of Christmas because he did 11 murders.
Oh, yeah.
And I was going to do that one, but I couldn't find enough information and I had to order the book and the book took too long.
Did it come from Russia?
No, it came from Amazon.
Okay. Amazon in Russia?
Yeah.
Just kidding.
No.
Well, that was a good one, Jen.
Yeah, he's messed up, man.
Say that. That always fascinates me, the history of... how many times can I say this? I swear, but it's true. Why people do things. And obviously there's something there with the sexuality and the bullying. But that doesn't, bullying does not a killer make. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, and the last couple ones that we've had are Bedwetters, which is on that animal.
Yep.
Some people say the triad isn't really real, but it's a lot of coincidences then.
And I mean, maybe, I don't know. I'm trying to think.
Socially awkward.
Yeah.
And Dahmer was socially awkward.
Lots of kids kind of play with fire because it's interesting.
Mm-hmm. My daughter does.
Right. So does my kid. A little, don't even get me started.
I walked upstairs the other day and I'm like, why does it smell like burning onions in here? Yeah. She was burning onions with a lighter. And I'm like, what the hell are you doing?
Was she going to eat them?
No. Just burning onions.
So I said, that is kind of fascinating. But the bedwetting and the animal torture, Nope.
No.
Although I did once use a magnifying glass to catch an ant on fire, with the sun.
It's an ant, though. I mean, it's still an animal.
I was a kid. Cut that all out. But I will. You remember
it was
how,
an
like,
insect. I think insects are different.
But it was cool because, like, you know, right. It's class. That's pretty cool. All right, Jen.
I think it's different, though, with insects. I don't think.
I don't kill anything now. I don't either.
But I used to, like, take lightning bugs and...
Okay, so did I, but that was different when we were little. And we wanted jewelry. We wanted to be pretty.
I wanted glowy ears.
I'd make necklaces, rings, earrings.
No, I just did earrings.
Nope, we did it all.
Of course you did.
Well, that was a good one, Jen.
Thanks.
So I guess we will see everybody next week. All right, Jen, tell the good people where they can find us.
You can find us everywhere that you get your podcasts. We are on every podcatcher that you can imagine. And if we're not,
let us know.
And we'll get on there. Yeah, that's where we are. And you can also find us on Twitter at our True Crime Pod. I am in control of the account. And I love to talk to everyone. Totally, totally love to make a lot of new friends this way. Camille's shaking her head.
I am. You can catch us on Facebook, although we're not really very good at keeping up to date on that.
We try. And if you guys post on that, I will get the... I run that too.
She runs everything. Do you think she's the queen? Queen of everything.
I am the queen. At least I don't know everything like you do.
I do, apparently. We know that, don't we? Since I was told last night. Uh-huh. Also, we have a blog.
That I've keep up to date. Let's see.
What do I do? Except
nothing.
Pretty. I just look pretty.
You don't even do that very well. No, you can find us on, let's see, I think that's it. Twitter, Facebook. We have a blog, ourtruecrimepodcast.com.
I think that's it.
All right. If we need to be somewhere, we need to get on Instagram. We are on Instagram, but I don't really understand the whole Instagram
thing.
I
just don't. Because since you run it, since you do everything, you got to figure it out.
I do everything.
All right, Jen. Well, thanks. That was awesome. Stay tuned. Next, same bat time, same bat channel. We'll have another good story.
Same crime time. Same crime channel.
Prime time, crime time. There we go.
Yeah.
Anyway, so remember, lock your doors. It's been a while. I forgot.
I forgot
what I was supposed to say.
I know. I'm glad to be
remember,
back.
Remember, lock your doors.
And keep passing by those open windows.
Bye-bye.
Love ya. Hey, we're rolling. Rolling, rolling, rolling. Get these doggies rolling.
Run. Get them up. Give it up. Hi, Jen.
Hey, Kim. How are you?
Your dork. We got to do that again. You're a dork.
Of course I am.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. There have been, during trying to, the killers killed.
I would be careful touching this, too, because it makes it
trying.
Daggy. Yeah, I know. It's kind of hard, huh? Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I keep touching this.
It's hard. That's why I have a hoodie on, but I'll not be able to do that.
Hey, will you throw me that baby blanket? Maybe that'll help.
Oh, now I got to tuck my shirt in, Jen.
Maybe that'll give me a little cushion for the pushing, you know what I'm saying? After high school, Sergei went to an architectural academy?
Architect school?
No. Agriculture.
Oh my God. Okay.
What the hell? Okay.
Blooper.
Reading is fundamental and also very hard. Jeez Louise.
This first episode back.
It's going to be a doozy. To an agricultural academy. He did very well, and he graduated in 1982.
I bet he could even read the word.
I bet you he could. He was pretty smart. He was a smart fella. Or a fart smeller, whatever you want to say. Unfortunately, so after he graduated from his academy...
his agricultural academy.
He was a barn raiser. No. So during the summer of 1984, Sergei was sitting... by a fence.
Is it Sergei?
Actually, I think it kind of was. Authorities were scared that something was going to happen to Mikhail Baryshnikov. Or Mikhail Baryshnikov. God, no. Don't. Not Mikhail Baryshnikov.
Just dance, buddy. Dance.
Dance. No.
You're dork.
I know. In Soviet Union, it'd be very hard to get industrial salt.